Well, with the stars and stripes forever ushering us in, we turn our attention today, November 11th, 2025, to honor all military veterans for their service, patriotism, and willingness to sacrifice for their country. As we welcome you to this special Veterans Day episode of Musings on Golf, get ready for a terrific interview with Billy Hurley III of the United States Naval Academy, who remains to this day the only graduate of a U.S. military service academy to win on the PGA Tour. I am your host, Kelly Elbin, son of Max Elbin, who served the United States in the Pacific Theater in World War II. My dad enlisted in the U.S. Army Air Forces and eventually served as a B-29 crew chief in New Guinea, the Philippines, and Tokyo. Jenna Self, our executive producer, daughter of Colonel Richard R. Mitchell, United States Air Force, who is in the Strategic Air Command and whose 30-year career in the Air Force concluded as the base commander at Dyess Air Force Base in Abilene, Texas. And our late co-host, Bob Bupka, who served in the United States Air Force in Greenland, where he got his start in Armed Forces Radio. To all of you who have served our great nation, including, I'm sure, listeners to Musings on Golf, thank you for your service. You know, it's days like today, for obvious reasons that elicit a range of emotions. I had a great interview with Billy Hurley last week. And at the end of the interview, it just was like a wall of emotion that hit me after I thanked Billy and so forth. And I just put my head in my hands and I just started crying. And Janice, we do this via Zoom, and Janice kind of said, what's the matter? And she understood why I was crying. She said, you're thinking about your dad. I said, yeah. And she said, I understand. You know, my dad with all of his years in the Air Force, and it's such a special day. And it's obviously unique to Memorial Day, where we mourn and honor those who've passed away. And in a sense, Veterans Day is a day of celebration, because we celebrate all of those who have served. And Billy Hurley III certainly qualifies. And you're going to hear more about him in just a minute. On the backside of the interview with Billy, I want to talk a little bit about something called PGA HOPE. The HOPE stands for Helping Our Patriots Everywhere. We're also going to hear from Ben Griffin. Ben Griffin, who along with Rory McIlroy and Scottie Scheffler, is the only three-time winner on the 2025 PGA Tour. How much money would you have gotten if you put Ben Griffin's name on that list? But great win for him, closing with 63 on Sunday to win in Mexico for, again, his third win of the year. And we'll also look ahead to another big-time guest next week. Well, Billy Hurley III, I don't believe really that Hollywood could have written any better script than the 2016 Quicken Loans at Congressional Country Club outside of our nation's capital. Billy Hurley III, as I mentioned, who reached the rank of lieutenant during his five-year tour of duty after his after graduating from the United States Naval Academy in Annapolis, Maryland. Billy went on and played on the PGA Tour, played some tours beyond the regular tour, and was a solid player. But it all came together at Congressional, at Tiger Woods event, at the Quicken Loans. And Billy, having been born outside of Washington, D.C., and playing at the Quicken Loans, which was an event at that time which supported the military in a big, big way. And for Billy to be given the trophy by Tiger Woods, for Billy to have family and friends around him within, heck, a 40-minute drive from where he grew up. What a story. And really, what a guy. He and his wife working very hard through the Billy Hurley III Foundation, which is at Billy Hurley 3, the numeral 3.com, doing great work for military families today. And so very pleased to be able to talk to Billy. Hope all of you find a way to thank a veteran today. Find a way to acknowledge those who have indeed put on the uniform and continue to make a difference in our lives every day and allow us to do the things that we do on an ongoing basis. Really going to enjoy this interview with Billy Hurley III, Lieutenant Billy Hurley III, right after you hear from our friends, our corporate partners at William & Harry and Titleist. America, this is your moment. William & Harry's limited edition spirit shoe is here so every fan can feel like part Team USA from the first tee to the final putt. Two head-turning designs, premium deerskin, 100% waterproof with spikeless grip and all-day comfort. Limited run, don't sit this one out. Pre-buy now at williamandharry.com. Get into spirit. Get into comfort.
Titleist Pro V1 and Pro V1X are the best performing, most consistent in the game. So how does the best get better? You start by listening to the best players in the world. You experiment, iterate, validate. You trust the best process to create the best golf ball the game has ever known. The all-new Pro V1 and Pro V1X. More speed off the tee. More control with your irons. More spin with the wedges. And more opportunity to shoot your lowest score.
Today, we recognize Veterans Day, a federal holiday that President Dwight D. Eisenhower signed into law in 1954. President Eisenhower, who was the supreme commander of the Allied Expeditionary Force in Europe during World War II, went on to become an avid golfer during his 8 years in the White House and long after. I'd like to think that President Eisenhower would be enormously proud of our special guest today, who captured his only PGA Tour title just outside of our nation's capital and not far at all from where he grew up. A graduate of the United States Naval Academy in Annapolis, Maryland, where he rose to the rank of lieutenant, he remains to this day the only U.S. Military Service Academy graduate who has won on the PGA Tour. Tell you what an honor. Welcome to Musings on Golf on this Veterans Day. Billy Hurley III, Lieutenant, can't thank you enough for joining us. How are you?
Kelly, great to be with you. Yeah, happy Veterans Day.
Same to you, Billy. Kind of get right to it. Your career is fascinating in so many respects. Why did you choose, Lieutenant, to attend the Naval Academy?
You know, I grew up in Northern Virginia, kind of just northwest of Washington, D.C., so it was only about an hour and a half from the academy there in Annapolis, and I just fell in love with it. You know, I don't have a good answer or a memory even of what initially made me interested or what initially made me curious about learning more and you know, all that kind of stuff. But I have a very clear memory of it was after my freshman year of high school and, you know, no family history of academies or anything like that, but had a lot of family friends. Actually, my dad had quite a few friends who went there and kind of, you know, the generation above him, kind of my grandparents' age. One of those folks was a guy named Admiral Charles Minter, and he was a retired admiral who was an aviator and subsequently was the superintendent of the Naval Academy, which is like the university president. We call it the superintendent. And so after my freshman year of high school, he gave me a tour of the Naval Academy, and I was just blown away. It was like hook, line, and sinker. I'm in. That's all I want to do. And I just, from that moment on, set my sights on going to the Naval Academy.
What blew you away? Was it the look of the place, the feel of it, the people, maybe everything?
Yeah, I think, yeah, you just hit it all for no question. I mean, I think, you know, we were able to interact with some of the students there, some of the midshipmen that were there, and it was just kind of this impressive, you know, confident group. And, you know, then just the ideals of the place, you know, honor, courage, commitment, and just all the things. You know, I like to say the Naval Academy is not the right school for everybody, but it was the right school for me. It just kind of fit, you know, who I was and you know, what I wanted to do and be a part of.
Well, you mentioned your dad, Bill, just a short time ago. He got you and your brother started in the game of golf, right?
That's right. Yeah, my dad was a good player himself, played in college, you know, and, you know, my earliest memories of golf were riding around in the cart and chipping sprinkler heads off the side of the green while he was playing golf with his friends. And, maybe I get to hit a tee shot here or there or a wedge here or there or something like that, but was just off to the side chipping around, trying to hit it in the sprinkler head to the side of the green. And that's kind of how I got started, driving the golf cart, hitting a couple of shots and off from there.
Did you play other sports as a kid as well? And did golf come, did the being good at golf, did that come quickly?
Oh boy, I don't know if good at golf comes quickly to anybody ever, right?
Now, that might have been an overreach. That's true.
But no, I played everything else growing up. Golf was not my main sport for most of my childhood. Baseball was kind of my main sport. Played 2 years of high school baseball in addition to high school golf, and it was kind of my junior year of high school where I quit baseball, quit everything else, and kind of realized that I was good enough to play Division I golf. If I kind of, went after it and went all in and probably, maybe good enough to play Division II baseball or something like that. And so I, went all in on golf, and that was kind of the breaking point was about halfway through high school of just focusing on golf.
A lot of fun memories playing the game as a junior with your brother. You mentioned that you played at some courses in Loudoun County outside of DC that today may not look so great, but I would imagine back in the day, Billy, that was kind of heaven as far as golf was concerned, right?
Yeah, we played at an old course called West Park there in Leesburg, Virginia, and yeah, as you mentioned, it's no longer being mown down as a golf course. I think there's some development plans for the property there, but yeah, that was boy, lots of days of playing 18 holes, chipping and putting, having a hot dog and fries, and chipping and putting some more, and hitting balls, and like just kind of. Really spent a lot of time there around West Park, and then ultimately at Loudoun Golf and Country Club in Purcellville, Virginia, where they were kind enough to give me and my brother kind of the junior membership. My dad was a police officer. We weren't country club kids. So, we had kind of had the discounted junior membership that allowed us the opportunity to play out there as well.
Oh, that's great. So pleased to be joined by Billy Hurley III here on a very special Veterans Day podcast on Musings on Golf. Look, I really love what you're doing, the lives you're affecting through your foundation, through the Billy Hurley III Foundation. On your website, Billy Hurley III, that's the numeral 3.com, Bill, you write this, quote, "I attribute much of my success in life, both personally and professionally, to my military service. It is my privilege to return the favor by supporting those who are serving now." So if you would, Lieutenant, talk a little bit about the mission of the Billy Hurley III Foundation and what you do to support that mission.
Yes, our mission is military families. We seek to honor and enhance the lives of military families. Basically, our premise at the foundation is that the whole family unit is in the military, not just the service member. And there's quite a lot out there for service members, and there's not as much out there for families. And we're certainly not the only ones in the space. A lot of other great organizations doing a lot of great things, but that's where my wife and I just decided to focus when we created the foundation in 2017. We decided to focus on the family, and really it just was born out of our own experience as a active duty naval officer. And when I was on my second ship, our oldest son was born right before I went to that ship, and so I spent the first 2 years of his life mostly on the ocean. And my wife was mostly at home being a single mom while I was out to sea. So that really kind of shaped our experience from the Navy, and just the recognition that, if my wife, wasn't kind of able to do that as a single mom, if she didn't have the support structure from the other wives on the ship and all those different things, then it would have made it a lot harder for me to kind of go downrange and be at my best to serve the ship and serve our country. So we just support, honor, and enhance the lives of military families.
I know you have a couple of awards that you give out as well as part of your foundation, right?
Yeah, that's right. So we that's our mission is the families. We do that tangibly in a couple of different ways. We have a secondary scholarship that we run. Well, it's run by a third party organization, but that we support and fund. So that is for dependents of service members who served on one of the two ships that I served on. So it's kind of a unique tie to again where we came from. And then we do vacations is really what we do, Kelly. We send junior sailors, we're talking, young enlisted sailors, and we send them and their family on vacation. And so we use the ships in Jacksonville, Florida, Mayport, Florida, and in Pearl Harbor, Hawaii, to help us identify those sailors. They submit for the award. We call it the Koa Kai Award. I was stationed out in Hawaii. Koa Kai is Hawaiian for sea warrior. And so that's what we kind of nodded to one of the ships I was on out there, USS Chung Hoon in Hawaii. And so we find these outstanding young sailors, and we send them and their family. If they're single, we send them. If they're married, we send them and their spouse. If they're married with five kids, we send them and their spouse and five kids on a 3-day, 2-night vacation. So it's just been a lot of fun to be able to do that, and again, kind of just bridging the things that I was able to be a part of. You've been around golf for a long time, and you're probably aware, between the PGA Tour, the PGA of America, like they treat the golfers really, really well, and they treat your families even better. And so my kids were able to do, a lot of neat experiences through the game of golf, through the tour, and just the tournaments, and going different places and seeing different things. And so we tried to bring that, some of that, world-class experience back to the military.
No, I think that's fabulous. And Billy, the amount of money you mentioned, the tour and the PGA of America, the organization I worked for quite a number of years, just the sheer amount of money that the tour donates to charities and the PGA of America golf professionals, for goodness sakes, throughout the country
Absolutely.
generate for it's just it, millions and millions of dollars. It's such a wonderful sport that way, Billy.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the tour is over 2 billion, I think, lifetime as far as, charitable impact's concerned. And, the PGA of America, the local golf professionals are actually a huge part of that, even though, separate organizations, but they work, together to run these events ultimately at the end of the day and have the impact across, the country and the globe.
Yeah, I want to delve a little bit more into your time at the academy, and obviously, life at any of the academies can be rigorous. I'm wondering in what ways you were different. You emerged from that kid who graduated from Loudoun County High School in suburban Washington to the man who graduated from the United States Naval Academy.
Yeah, well, like I said earlier, the Naval Academy is not the right school for everybody, but it was a perfect fit for me. And I just really thrived in that environment. The environment of just discipline and having to just wake up and do the next right thing and all those kind of deals. And then you throw golf in there, and golf was my escape, from that rigor that you talked about. And so I spent every extra second I could find over at the golf course because it was just a way to get away a little bit, as well as I just, love trying to get better. And so, the academy, I'd never thought about it the way you just phrased it, the kid from Loudoun County to the man who graduated the Naval Academy, but there's no question that that's true. You go in there at 17, 18, 19 years old, and you come out and you're now charged with leading sailors and Marines across, the world. And so it is, it's the greatest leadership factory that exists, any of the academies, not just the Naval Academy, albeit I am very biased.
You should be.
You mentioned Eisenhower at the Open. Like, we might agree on a lot about golf and whatever, but he did go to the wrong school, so.
He did go there to the United States Military Academy. That is correct. He
That's,
was
yeah,
an
I mean,
Army man.
you were kind to give them a title. They're just the wrong school, but
I understand that. I understand that. And speaking about your golf career, I mean, you won what, seven collegiate titles at Navy. You were on the victorious U.S. Walker Cup team in 2005 at Chicago Golf Club. I'm wondering, and you talked about it was your escape. What was that like to balance the demands of the academy with golf? And it had to also be nice in a way, Billy. You have a golf course on the property there at the academy, so you were able to, you didn't have to travel particularly far to be able to work on your game, right?
Yeah, well, actually, I'd say that the nice thing is that the golf course was just a couple of miles away from campus, so you actually were able to get away and not be close. In a sense, it's across the Severn River.
Right.
And so just far enough, just close enough to get to quickly, and just far enough to be kind of a tranquil escape, so to speak. But I tell people, for me, the Naval Academy was Groundhog Day. I woke up, I went to class, I went to golf practice, I did my homework, I went to bed, and I woke up and did it all over again. And that was because I wanted to spend that much time doing golf. Plenty of other people, there's plenty of time. It is rigorous and whatever. There's time for some other things, but I just had focused so much on golf. That's just what I wanted to do, and wanted to, be the best I could be and compete at the highest level that I could, and just kind of kept getting better, kept getting better, kept getting better, and all of a sudden woke up my, senior year and was nationally ranked, and had gotten a lot better over the course of the time.
Yeah, and I mentioned the seven collegiate titles that you won while at the academy. Was there a particular win? Was there a particular moment for you personally that stood out over your years at Navy?
Well, I mean, I did win 7 times, but 6 of those were actually my senior year. So I won 6 of 12 in my senior year, and it was again that fall, I think, where I had qualified for the U.S. Amateur, played in the U.S. Amateur, made it to the second round of match play, had nothing special, but pretty special for an academy kid who, not very many guys have even qualified for the AM across the years from academies. And so, but then my it was I think it was the first I think it was the first tournament of the fall, and it was at our Naval Academy golf course. We hosted a tournament there, and in the final round I shot 61, and that was one of the moments where it changed from like a pipe dream of being an all-American, or a pipe dream of playing professionally, or and all of a sudden, like I said, ranked, maybe I think that tournament probably made me ranked number 2 in the country for a minute. Spent a bunch of time in the top 10 in the country that year, and then now my name is being mentioned next to Camilo Villegas, Bill Haas, Ryan Moore, these guys who were destined for the PGA Tour kind of thing, and was able to ultimately get there alongside them.
Yeah, you actually graduated with a degree in quantitative economics, which for a layman, Billy, is just a mouthful to say.
Yeah, no, I can't spell it, Kelly, but I did get the degree.
There are very few who can spell it. And you actually w later you went back and taught what for a couple of years
I
at
did.
the
Yeah, I was
academy. Is
very
that right? How did that come to be where you went back and taught the major that you pursued?
Yeah, there's a good military faculty at all of the academies, so the Naval Academies, I think maybe just under 50-50 civilian faculty and military faculty, so there's some overlap there. And for me, it was actually during that time you mentioned I played the Walker Cup, which I did. I graduated in 2004, and then the Navy kind of like didn't know what to do with me. I kind of had this chance to make the Walker Cup team, but that was going to be hard to do if I was on a ship. So the Navy kind of found a way for me to be able to compete and make that Walker Cup team. So that was the time at which I got kind of moved to the Naval Academy. Summers off as in that kind of faculty role, there's not as much work to be done in the summers. I taught classes during the academic year, but then had the kind of that summer to be able to make to be able to compete for, do the amateur summer and ultimately make the Walker Cup team. So that's kind of
You
how that
mentioned,
came about.
yeah, and you mentioned about the Academy, quote, not knowing what to do with you. I guess David Robinson is the most known graduate of the Naval Academy in terms of, okay, you've got this unbelievably good collegiate player. Can we figure out his
Yeah, he had the
professional
added
aspirations?
bonus of being 7-1. And
Yes.
so
And that
there's really nothing to
restricts
do
you.
with him.
But that restricts you in terms of what you can do. It's sort of right.
That's right. Yeah. So yeah, most of the basketball players at any of the academies end up kind of being restricted in what they can do just on height. There's you bang your head a whole lot on a ship or a sub at those heights. So yeah, David, there's a program. It's kind of almost the so-called David Robinson program, is what he did. Served 2 years active duty and then transfer into the reserves and kind of go play your sport, and represent the Navy in that way. And there's been a handful of guys along the way who have and gals who have been able to do that and be a part of that program. Ultimately, that program, frankly, was written for football and basketball players. And so when this golfer came along, it kind of like didn't fit neatly inside of it, and they didn't quite know how to do it. And so I was not ultimately accepted into that same program, but was able to have a lot of fun, on two different ships in the Navy, as you mentioned before.
Right. And so you did serve a total of 5 years as an officer on those two different ships. I want to ask you, you had a tour of duty in the Persian Gulf. You mentioned on the destroyer USS Chung Hoon. What were your responsibilities and how dangerous was that? I mean, you're in the Persian Gulf for 2 years. What was your role? What were the dangers involved?
Yeah, we were in the Gulf for a good bit, and the Red Sea for a good bit, kind of in that region, and some in the South China Sea as well. So it was in the part of the world. This is late 2000s, like 07, 09. So it wasn't the height of, so to speak, the war on terror, but it was in the middle of it for sure. And we were mainly at that time when we were in the Persian Gulf, we were defending Iraq's oil platforms. So Iraq has two oil platforms that make up something like 90% of its GDP. And so you can imagine Iran would love nothing more to see those disappear. And so we were kind of sweeping the tankers that came in to get filled up, and making sure nothing got kind of close to the oil platform that wasn't kind of allowed to be there, so to speak. And I don't want to miscategorize it as dangerous in any way, Kelly. I mean, anytime you're at sea and anytime you're close to other ships and stuff, it's dangerous. And we've seen, the effects of that over the last couple of years, with some collisions at sea and stuff that have made headlines. But when we were there, we didn't get shot at. We didn't, have anything like that. But yeah, we were very much a part of the kind of global war on terror at the time.
Yeah, absolutely. Having a really special time with veterans on this Veterans Day with Lieutenant Billy Hurley III, who remains to this day the only U.S. Military Service Academy graduate who has won on the PGA Tour. Hey, Bill, you mentioned earlier in terms of all the people in golf who do so many good things for the military. I've gotten to know a little bit a guy named Scott Cash, who's a PGA of America professional in the South Florida PGA section. He's the recipient of the Patriot Award in the South Florida section. The Patriot Award is also a national award recognizing PGA professionals who, help with veterans to introduce them to the
Sure.
game, et cetera. And I asked Scott if he'd have a question for you. And his question was, how did your training at the Naval Academy prepare you for playing on the PGA Tour? And I guess as part of that, above and beyond just your skills, were there the confidence, the discipline, was that all a factor in helping you prepare you for the tour?
Yeah, no question. I mean, I think it's kind of easy to say now, but I wouldn't change it. The path that I took to ultimately get to the PGA Tour, I think, made me a better golfer. The Naval Academy made me a better golfer, and I point to two specific things around this. Is one is time management, and a friend of mine said, the Naval Academy should just be renamed Time Management University. Because there's more to do than there are, hours in the day, and you kind of end up making decisions about which test I'm going to study for, because I don't have time to study for all of them, that kind of thing. And that's true in the Navy as well. You can very quickly see the officers who have good time management skills and those who don't. And so that really goes into golf as well. I mean, the PGA Tour is one big circus, and there's more, distractions and more, things to do than there are time in the day. And so you really have to prioritize your time and what you're going to practice and what's most important this week, this day to get done, to be prepared to play at your best. So the other's just mental toughness. I like to say, if you at the Naval Academy, you're either mentally tough or you're not there very long. And so,
It's just a
just,
fact, right?
yeah, it's a fact. And golf is the game that pretty much continually tells you how good you're not. And so, you're either mentally tough or you're not there very long either, kind of just from how much, the game beats you up and getting knocked down and, each shot, each hole, each round, and picking yourself back up and entering the next shot with the right frame of mind to hit a good one.
Speaking of that, I want to talk in a minute about your win at Congressional in the 2016 Quicken Loans, which is really the pinnacle of your career. But Billy, it really was kind of a long and winding road to get to that point. PGA Tour events, web.com, it was not a straight path, but the ability to handle that, to persevere, I would imagine that certainly that background at the academy had to help in some way.
No question. I mean, again, just like kind of learning how to practice at the Naval Academy, we didn't have as much time, as your average Division One athlete. And so getting like the most important pieces done, and kind of using time wisely, like I mentioned, time management. But yeah, the Academy played a huge role in who I am today. In getting to the PGA Tour, ultimately, the Navy as well. One of the things that it's kind of anecdotally, but I played pretty well overseas. I didn't play a ton overseas, but in the tournaments that I, competed in, I did pretty well relative to my peers, I think, because I had already traveled a whole bunch of the world, already been to a whole bunch of Asian countries and Middle Eastern countries, and so it wasn't that crazy, for me to be over there playing a golf tournament.
All that said, golf is very much a solitary individual game, and you had ebbs and flows during your career on as a tour professional. Were there moments at all where you said, "Gee, many Christmas, I'm good. I'm going to find something else," or was it simply a matter of stick to it? I'm going to somehow get this done, and one of these days I'll win a tournament.
That's a great question. And I probably really have to give my wife the most credit for that, because there was a ton of time when I wanted to be done. And it's golf's hard. Like I said, it normally just tells you how good you're not. And very, very few days are like how good you are, so to speak. And it's a little funny, and I make this joke occasionally talking to groups of people, but my wife and I had three serious conversations about quitting in throughout my career. We call it, you come to call it retiring because it sounds better than quitting. We had three serious conversations about that, and basically, in short order, after each one of them, I won a golf tournament. And one was kind of early on mini tours, one was kind of in the middle of Q school, and I end up winning a mini tour event, and then in Q school I ended up finishing first at second stage of Q school, and then the last one was just a couple months before Congressional when I won. And it was golf was hard, life was hard, everything's difficult, and you have a young family, and is this really what I want to be doing, et cetera, et cetera. And when the golf ball goes where you're looking, it's a great game, right? But when that's not happening very often, it's really, really tough. And so, yeah. So my joke is I should have had more conversations about quitting. Maybe I would have won more.
Why do you think that was, though? Why it couldn't have just been a coincidence, Billy, that you won. What was it, maybe a reset of sorts? Why?
I
Why did
think
you
that's
win?
exactly right, Kelly. I think that there was kind of a reset, a new resolve, a new like, okay, no, all right, we thought about it, but we're done thinking about it, and we're going this way now, and we're going to put everything we have into being the best golfer that I can be. And I think it was that new renewed resolve to really go after the game, and to not spend any more time in this waffle space of am I doing the right thing? Should I be doing something else? Should we be doing X, Y, and Z? And the answers was always no. And my wife and I, when we got out of the Navy, we kind of made this, I guess, internal pact, and it was basically like we were going to do this 1 year at a time, and it was going to be August to August. And that the reason being that like Q school applications were due in August, so that's when you had to decide if you're going to go to Q school that fall and pay $5,000 or whatever, and
Sure.
significant, outlay to kind of participate in that tournament. And so, yeah, that last time, I'm actually on the PGA Tour. I mean, I didn't have great status, but I was on the PGA Tour. I think playing out of the 125 to or 126 to 150 category, and it was like March of that year. And she's like, "Well, I don't know what to tell you, but you can't quit till August.
It's
So
fantastic.
I kept going, and we won a couple months later.
Yeah, you did. Hey, Billy, I'm originally from Bethesda, Maryland. My father, Max Elbin, was the head professional for many, many years at Burning Tree, literally just down the road from Congressional. So I know the Blue Course well. Now, the Blue Course as it is today is very different
Very
than
different
what it
now,
was when
yes.
you won it. I'm not sure it's the better, but whatever. That win, obviously, the Quicken Loans, the event itself, Tiger's event, celebrated the military, partnering with Quicken Loans. Tiger Woods hands you the trophy when you win, right? You're gathered among family and friends in your almost in your home area. Man, what kind of moment was that like for you? Beyond like what a guy would dream in winning a PGA Tour event?
Yeah, I mean, like, look, every single tour player will sign up to win any event you want to give them, right? Like, non-discretionary here, like any of them sounds good,
Yeah,
right? But
sure.
when you just said it all, and I grew up an hour west of Congressional. At the time when I won, I was living an hour east of Congressional. Tiger Woods's tournament, the tournament at the time that was kind of the celebrate the military tournament. You can't make it up. Like you I mean you send the script to Disney, they send it back, say you can't, this is unbelievable, or you can't make that movie. So yeah, it just kind of unbelievable, like, course of events. You can't really write it. It was a storybook.
9 years go quickly, so it was the 2016, and in the summer, you held off Vijay to win. What were the emotions? What was it like? Just those last 9 holes, those last few holes, knowing the end was in sight and the opportunity to win. What went through your mind, et cetera?
Well, I had a one-shot lead for most of the day, so what went through your mind was you better hit the best golf shot you've ever hit right now, every single time. I mean, that's the way
Yeah.
it feels, playing the back nine of a tour event, trying to win on Sunday. Is it just feels like every shot has to be perfect, and that's maybe half true. I mean, obviously you're playing tremendously well to even be in that place, so you've hit a lot of great golf shots over the past 3.5 days, but every shot doesn't have to be perfect, as we talked about. That's not golf, but that's the way it feels, right? And so you're just, every shot is just a grind and a mental exercise of trying to hit the best shot you can. And I had a one shot lead for most of the day, and then I pitched the ball in from 33 yards on 15.
That's right. Yep.
And that's the, from a place where you're just hoping to get up and down to save
So really
par and
hard. It's a
still have a
really
one
hard
shot
hole,
lead.
Billy, right? Fit the
Yeah,
par
very
four.
hard hole. Yeah, very
Yeah.
hard hole. Fortunately, some experience, on around that golf course, like, told me where I knew where I couldn't hit it, so I hit it in the right place to give myself a chance, after not a great tee shot. And then, pitched it in the hole, and all of a sudden I have a two shot lead. And that's kind of the moment where it went from like, oh, I'm gonna win this golf tournament now. Now I've got a two shot lead with 3 holes to go, and it was kind of just like, don't hit it under the lip of a fairway bunker and you're gonna win the golf tournament.
The Congressional is a famous hole downhill, the sweeping par four with that water to the left and so forth. What was it like to walk down the 18th fairway, pretty much knowing you had your first tour win in hand?
Yeah, I had a three-shot lead there in the fairway of the 18th hole, and I mean that's just, it's never over till it's over, and there's a lot of stories about that. So you're trying to, stay in it, but at the same time, I mean the hardest thing I did on the 18th hole was aim away from the pin with a wedge.
Yes, makes sense though. Yes.
I mean. And we were just aiming at the middle of the green with a 100 and 25 yard pitching wedge, and you're like, holy cow, this feels, everything in my body says this is wrong, but it is right now. And
Yes.
and then just being able to walk up on the green and really know that four putts gets it done. Now, never want to be the guy who four putts to win a golf tournament, so that was in the back of your head a little bit, but you knew it, knew it could happen. And I got to play that last round with, or the final round there at Quicken Loans, with Ernie Els. He was in the final group with me, and I mean that's just incredible. When you think, grew up watching Ernie Els, as a high school golfer, and some of his duels with Tiger and all those different things, right? So now, like you said, Tiger gave me the trophy. I went and played the final round with Ernie. I mean, just all these kind of crazy stuff. And Ernie was so, I mean, he's such a great guy. And obviously I was gonna win walking onto the 18th green, and he kind of slowed me down a little bit and was like, enjoy it. Like because I was kind of just, this focused, like, let's go, do the right thing, next thing. And he kind of just slowed me down just a little bit walking those last 50 yards to the green.
That's really special. Winding down our interview with Billy Hurley III here on Musings on Golf. Okay, as I mentioned, fast 9 years. How much golf are you playing these days, and what's keeping you busy, Billy?
Yeah, I got hurt a couple years ago, had back surgery. Woke up 2 weeks ago, realized I wasn't 28 anymore, and the game it's a different game today than 10 years ago, 9, 10 years ago, when I was kind of in my peak or prime or whatever. And so I play enough golf. I enjoy golf. I can't play golf 8 days a week, kind of like I used to, but still, I've learned to enjoy being with people and not competing every second of the day, because golf was competition for me. And that was, it was a living, it was competition, it was, grinding, it was all those things. So it took a little bit to learn to enjoy golf. But I'd say I play as much golf as I want to. Once or twice a week, maybe, if you average it out over the course of the year. And but that comes in waves for me. I'll play a lot for 2 weeks, and then I played a lot the last couple of weeks now, and I might not touch a club till December. I don't know. It's just kind of, it comes and goes. But doing the foundation keeps me busy. We're in award season, as you mentioned. We talked about the Koa Kai Award. We're in the middle of awarding those and identifying those sailors who are gonna win the Koa Kai Award in Jacksonville, Florida, Pearl Harbor, Hawaii, and we opened up a new one last year in Annapolis, Maryland. So we have those three locations where we hand out the Koa Kai Award, and so we're in the middle of doing that. It's really exciting to be a part of. And then, I've also started a venture capital firm. I've got two partners. We started a venture capital firm called Waypoint Ventures, and we are investing in Service Academy grads. So basically, companies that are led and run by Academy grads. So it's kind of, we've talked about it here for the last half hour or so. It's a huge part of who I am, a huge part of where I came from, what made me who I am today. And so continue to want to be a part of that ecosystem and give back to that community while investing. And it's not grant writing, it's big boy investing, but it is, in some of the best leaders that our country has produced.
Well, it makes all the sense in the world for you to want to be involved in that. Absolutely. That's great. Two final questions. And typically I ask a question about a dream foursome. Who would be, from my previous guests, who would be three others who, living or deceased, who would you play a magic round with, and where would you play? Now, with this being Veterans Day, I want to put a little twist on it. Billy Hurley, who would be three veterans who you would play, like to play golf with? They can be living or deceased. Who would round out your kind of dream Veterans Day foursome, and where would you play that round of golf?
Oh boy, that's a great question. I mean, first is going to be Arnold Palmer for me. He was really instrumental in my career. He let me play and practice at Bay Hill every winter, when I would go down there for a good bit of the winters in December, January kind of thing, and got to know him. So I was fortunate enough I did get to play with him while he was alive. But that would be one. I think I'd throw Ben Hogan in there as a, veteran, and just, I obviously never met Mr. Hogan, and never really even have seen, there's not that much video of his swing, kind of thing, or his game, but the stories are surreal, right? So I think that would be special. And then we'll throw Dwight Eisenhower in there. You mentioned him at the top. We joked about, beating Army, which is a big deal. And then I could, congressional would be pretty special, or even Burning Tree would be great. Didn't President Eisenhower save Burning Tree when the Beltway went in, or something
You're
like that? So
absolutely right. Yeah. Yeah,
you would
my
know
dad
that
played a
story.
lot of
So,
rounds of golf with him. You're spot on. That's exactly what happened. Yeah.
that I think that'd be pretty cool.
That would be very cool. So, final question then, and you mentioned my dad, Max Elbin. My dad served in the Pacific Theater during World War II, and he's since passed away. And so on this Veterans Day, I think about my dad, right? I'm wondering for you, Billy, as we close this, number one, what does Veterans Day, the actual day, mean to you? And who do you think about on this day?
It's interesting because I think most of those of us who are veterans don't actually think it's that special, right? And it's kind of was a job we did, and we were happy to do it. And it was there's a large sense that anybody could do it, right? And I think to some extent that's true. To a larger extent, it's maybe not as true. But for us as a military population, it's kind of just it's what you woke up and did tomorrow, and then you woke up and did it again. You woke up and did it again, and it was just what you did, and there wasn't anything special about it. I think now when you get removed a little bit from it, you kind of see that it is special. You kind of see that the bonds you make there are incredibly special. And so I think, when I think about Veterans Day, there's not a specific person that comes to mind, but the people group of veterans in the US and what a special group that actually is, who stood up and raised their right hand and said, I'll defend this country.
Yeah, it's interesting. My dad, and I think this was probably like a lot of people, at least of that generation. He never really talked about his time, right? Kind of like what you're saying is,
Sure.
we just went and did it. We didn't necessarily have to talk about it. And I think that's one of the great attributes of those who've served our country. So many of them, like you went and did it. There was a purpose, obviously, but it wasn't there to be heroic, et cetera. It's just what you did to defend our country.
Yeah, no question. When I get together with, guys who are on my ships, and some of them remain some of my best friends to this day, we spend most of the time talking about the pranks we pulled on the executive officer, not about anything real that we did in the world.
Billy Hurley, this has been, to say the least, a great treat. Before we go, please mention again the website for your foundation and how people could donate to what you're doing through the website.
Yeah, thanks, Kelly. Appreciate that. So yeah, BillyHurley3.com, Billy Hurley the number 3.com /foundation. And that'll get you to our foundation page where you can learn some more. There's a widget there where you can donate directly there, or we also have lots of people who donate through their workplace charity thing, and some of that gets matched, and those types of programs. We're a fully established 501c3, so you can donate any way you'd like to. But we're really fortunate to have a lot of great donors who just like us want to give back to military families, want to say thank you, want to say we see you, and it's really been an honor to have that piece of the puzzle as a part of our family now, giving back to military families.
Hey, it's been a real honor for me to spend this time with you, Lieutenant Billy Hurley III. Thank you so much for what you've done for our country and continue to do, and happy Veterans Day.
Thanks, Kelly. Appreciate it. Beat Army.
At William & Harry Golf, comfort meets purpose. Through their care campaign, William & Harry is partnering with charities to give back, donating a portion of every qualifying sale to support your cause. Enhance your next fundraiser with William & Harry customized golf shoes, auction packages, or exclusive giveaways. Crafted from fine deerskin, calfskin, and exotic leathers, William & Harry golf shoes offer all-day comfort from the course to the clubhouse in vibrant, eye-catching colors. Learn more at williamandharry.com or email info@williamandharry.com. William & Harry. Style with a mission. Well, we thank Billy Hurley III so much for spending time with us. What an inspiration he has been to so many and continues to support through the Billy Hurley 3 Foundation lives that of those in the military right now. Couldn't be happier than the time that I was able to spend with Billy, and I hope you really enjoyed that. In the course of that, I mentioned a gentleman by the name of Scott Cash, who is a PGA of America professional over in Southwest Florida. And Scott is the recipient of the South Florida PGA of America's Patriot Award for 2025, honoring PGA professionals who commit to helping veterans, to introducing the game of golf to them. And I want to just mention something called PGA Hope, which I hinted at early on. PGA Hope was started by the PGA of America. It's been a good decade now or so, and really been successful. HOPE stands for Helping Our Patriots Everywhere. It's a free nationwide program that introduces the game of golf to military veterans. It helps improve their physical, mental, and social well-being. It's led by PGA professionals such as Cash. It's open to all military veterans, active duty, reserve, and National Guard members. I encourage you, at a minimum, to learn more if you go to pgareach.org/PGA Hope. At a minimum, learn a little bit about it. At a maximum, ask your golf professional if he or she is involved with PGA Hope in some way, and see about the possibility of maybe having a PGA Hope event, a class at a golf course, at your golf course, or a golf course near you. It is a fabulous way to introduce the game and to veterans and keep them going in our great game. Talk about going in our great game. Ben Griffin III, shooting 63 in the final round at the Worldwide Technology Championship in Mexico for a two-shot win. His third victory of the year, as I mentioned, joining Scottie Scheffler and Rory McIlroy as the only players on the PGA Tour in 2025 to win at least three times. Ben's got a lot coming up, though. Let's hear from Ben first about what it meant to win this. And then on the backside, he's got some excitement ahead of winning this event. Let's hear from him first.
Yeah, I feel like I'm getting more and more comfortable kind of down the stretch. Had been in the mix a couple times since my last win. And so, going into the round, I felt great about my game, felt confident going into the day. It's kind of a new situation for me, being in the second to last group. I feel like I've been in a lot of final groups all season long, pretty much. When I had a chance to win, I felt like I was in the final group. This is kind of the first time where I was in the final group and had a really good chance to win. So I knew I could go out there and post a number and maybe apply some pressure. And I was really proud of the way I kept the pedal down and was able to make a lot of putts there in the middle stretch and capped it off with birdies on 16 and 18 to seal the deal. So it was all in all a great day. And I'm very, very excited to be the champion here this week.
Yeah, a lot of firsts for Ben Griffin in 2025. It was his first win earlier this year, and to win three in all. Now he's got something even more important. He's preparing to get married later this year in December. And then before he does that, another first, he's going to be playing Augusta National Golf Club for the first time in a few weeks, along with his, he's playing with his father and a buddy. He's been invited to play by a member at Augusta National Golf Club. Obviously, with his victories, he has qualified for the 2026 Masters. He's never been on the property. Apparently, he promised himself that he would never even go to the Masters unless he was competing at it. And now he's talking about winning it. He said that, you know what? My goal is to win it. He would become the first player since Fuzzy Zeller in 1979 to win in his Masters debut. What a year it has been for Ben Griffin. Oh, I forgot to mention he played on the U.S. Ryder Cup team, and he's looking ahead to an even more exciting 2026. As is our guest next week, Cameron Young. Cameron Young as well, after so many close calls on the PGA Tour, finishing second seven times, finally won at the Wyndham Championship in Greensboro, and that was really the final check mark that U.S. Ryder Cup captain Keegan Bradley needed to ensure that that Cameron would be one of the six Ryder Cup picks for his team. And indeed, Cameron not only played on the team at Bethpage Black, but he was the leading point getter among the U.S. players, won three of his four matches. I had his father, David, who's a PGA of America professional, was a guest on Musings on Golf going into the Ryder Cup. And so impressed with David, and the same with Cameron. I've already conducted that interview. I think you'll find out, you'll learn a lot more about who he is. Really, really excited to have Cameron Young with us next week. All in all, this has been a terrific show. Again, Veterans Day, remembering those who have served, who have gone before us, and those who are serving now and still making a huge difference in our country and around the globe. Happy Veterans Day to all. For Jenna Self, Kelly Elbin signing off from a very special Musings on Golf.